What is up, everybody? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton, American style. I am Jerry, coming to you from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Took a little hiatus from the show last week because life got complicated. Yes, my kid was playing in an out-of-town football tournament, soccer tournament, football tournament, whatever you want to say. And yeah, life got complicated, so I couldn't record the show. Apologies. But I'm back and bringing with me a new friend. Yeah, we've got from the New York City Evertonians, we have James Rogers with us. James, welcome.
Hello, mate. How are you doing? It's great to be here.
Really awesome to be on the air with you, man. Because we, you know, full disclosure to everybody out there, James and I have just been sitting here talking off, you know, just like for a long time before actually starting the show. And it's crazy that you're missing out all this juicy James content. So I'm gonna see if I can get him to replay it again.
I'll see what I can do for you. I'll see what I can do.
Solid. It's solid, everybody. So James, really quick, just because I like to make sure I get to it and not forget. So your home supporters group are the NYC Evertonians.
Yeah, that's right. There's about probably over 100 of us based out of Bar Turnmill in New York when it's open, kind of in easier times. And yeah, no, we've been doing really well. It's been growing. Founded in 2004, a bunch of expats were involved in the formation of that. You know, and it's been going from strength to strength to strength. You know, we're involved with a lot of other groups around the country. You know, kind of we're reaching out to others, kind of getting involved with the merch and everything else, kind of trying to support Everton in the community. So yeah, it's been great. I mean, for me, it's been quite the home from home as an expat Evertonian. So yeah, it's been a wonderful experience.
So Evertonians in the New York City area, you need to be following NYC Evertonians on Twitter and all the other social media platforms. And yeah, you need to follow James as well. Go ahead and get that connection going, you know, because he's pretty heavily rooted in the NYC Evertonians community, as you'll find out in just a little bit.
They're my only friends, let's be honest. Like, what can I say? You know, I've tried, but they're my only friends.
So James, I gotta note this for everybody else. You have such a thick Brooklyn accent. I can't.
Yeah,
get
yeah,
over
yeah.
It. It's
yeah,
so...
I mean, honestly, it's like Goodfellas, isn't it? You know, it's like. Yeah, I'm told that all the time. Yeah, I really am told that all the time. Yeah,
I really wish you were, just because I would love to hear your responses every time it happens. Oh my gosh! So James, you are a journalist, but and you're living in Brooklyn, but you're originally not from there. Just to get it out of the way and say it out loud, where'd you grow up?
I'm from Highton, which is part of Liverpool. Tony Hibbert is also from Highton. Peter Reid, another Everton great, is from Highton. So yeah, Highton is a real Liverpool place. I'm a real Scouser.
Very cool. I was thinking about the Scouse accent today, oddly enough, and I was like, you know, it's a really cool sounding accent. My friends that I've talked to on this show that have that accent, I'm just like, everything you say sounds cool. That's not fair. It sounds, that's not cool. You know, I just sound like some dork. That sucks.
No, that's not fair. I think you're being quite harsh on yourself. But thank you anyway.
It's just a cool accent, man. It's just,
thank you. Thank you so much.
But so when did you come to the United States?
I've been here since 2004. Met a lovely young American lady many years ago while on a trip here. Funnily enough, I was with a gang of Evertonians. This was over 20 years ago. Ended up moving over here to be with her. We now have two wonderful children. We are married. I'm a fully paid up member of American life now, you know, US citizen, you know, the whole shebang.
That's a beautiful story, though, because that doesn't happen all the time. You know?
Thank you. So Everton strangely played a part in bringing us together. There I was, kind of drinking in New York with a bunch of Evertonians, and I met her in a bar, and the rest is history. Yeah.
You know, I met my wife in a bar too, James. Isn't that crazy how that actually happens sometimes?
Yeah. I believe that's what people used to do years ago. I don't know what the kids do these days, but yeah, that's how it was back in the day.
So you've been in the US, New York since 2004. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you've been an Everton supporter pretty much as long as you remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was kind of, my dad was an Evertonian, so that was, there was never another path for me. That was always how it was going to be. So I can't remember a time when Everton didn't loom large in my life, there have been good times and bad times, I'm not going to lie. Was a season ticket holder for many years when I was living there. Mm-hmm. Lived in London for a long time and kind of traveled all over the country watching them. So, it was a wrench to leave there, and not be able to go to the game as frequently as I could, but having a group to be with and kind of get together and watch games with, whether back when we were all in the bar and it was magic, that was great. But even doing stuff virtually now, like I've been on kind of Zoom watch parties with like the DC Toffees and like people from California. And this was like during the last lockdown, last summer when we were awful. And I was counting the minutes to the Zoom watch parties just because you're getting with people, like people you've got stuff in common with, great gang of people, And so we all adapt, don't we? We all find ways to kind of get through and kind of be with other Evertonians and watch the game and have a bit of banter, have a bit of a laugh and just marvel at the fact that people are drinking that early in the morning, even at home. It's like, not me and my kids are too little, like I'd get no peace, but like, people are still having a laugh. They're still enjoying themselves. Like they're still doing what they do, it's been absolutely, so it's been great. Like having a virtual community, if you told me that's what I would be doing like 10 years ago, that's how I'd be watching Everton, I wouldn't have believed you, but it's just been great. It's been fantastic meeting everyone all over the country. It's superb.
I'm right there with you. I would not have believed you if you'd have told me, that kind of, that I'd be, doing a show like this, talking to James. If you'd have told me this 20 years ago, I would not, it would not have. Yeah. But every Thursday now I get to hunker down and talk about my favorite team with, sometimes it's a new friend, sometimes it's an old friend. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah, no, it's great.
So you are a seasoned Evertonian who's been to many, many matches. What's your favorite away day, out of curiosity?
Ooh, let me think. Well, have we had good away days? Oh, there have been so many. You know what? A place we always used to go to, and I was living in London at the time, so for me it was kind of like a shorter trip, but all my mates would come down from Merseyside and we would go to Arsenal. We'd done all the London grounds. And Arsenal, I've never seen us win there. We always got beat. but I always found it, for whatever reason, there was a pub just outside. This is the old Highbury. I haven't been to the Emirates because I've lived there for a million years, but there was a pub outside Highbury, which I think it was called the Highbury Tavern, and we used to go and drink in there after the game as away fans, and that can often be a little bit of a difficult, tricky situation. And I can remember being in there and like me and my mates were playing pool and kind of just kind of having a really good time there, hanging out with the Arsenal supporters. We were having drinks brought for us, and like I always remember that, because away days, like there are good ones and bad ones, do you know what I mean? Like on a good one, like you get a good win, you all have a laugh, everyone's safe. On a bad one, it's a bit, back then at least, it could be a bit tense, and it wasn't always the safest experience. Whereas I always look back on those times at Arsenal as, despite football always being very negative and like we always got beat, but it was a good day, do you know what I mean? And being with other fans and kind of just hanging out. And it was, for me, it was what football is all about. You know what I mean? It's like We've got our Everton community, but there's a broader community as well. So yeah, I look back on those days in the Highbury Tavern as being like really good days.
Very cool. As far as what's your, okay, I'm asking these very specific questions and that's you have right. not been prepped on this at all. So if I put you on the spot and you're like, oh my God, I'm apologizing now.
That's okay.
But your favorite match you attended?
Oh, so for me, it would be the 1994 FA Cup semi-final, Elland Road, Everton versus Spurs.
Really?
Everton had been underperforming all season. They'd kind of like, they'd been skirting relegation. Actually, they were still skirting relegation, even at that point in the game. Everyone wanted this dream final, Spurs versus Man United. And no one gave Everton a chance. 4-1. Absolutely obliterated them. It was just incredible football. It was force of will. It was just so amazing. It was like, it's one of those days when your dreams come true, you know? And it's like, I remember bumping into one of my mates, Philly from Heighton. Actually lived in the road behind the one I grew up in. And I bumped into him outside Elland Road and I'm like, no, it's FA Cup semi-final day. I was really, really nervous. And I'm like, mate, I'm a bag of nerves. And he's like, don't worry, Jay, don't worry. This thing's bigger than both of us. I was like, all right, okay. But you know what? It was one of those days. It was just like everything went right. And, you know, and then obviously we went on to win the cup at Wembley. I didn't get to Wembley. That was our last, you know, that was our last trophy. So, but I always think that I look back on that semi-final as just being the perfect day of football. It was absolutely magical. You know, kind of a team that had been written off against a team that were hotly favoured. And we just, you know, talk about self-belief and just going for it. Like, I haven't had a game plan. They just went there. And it's the one where Daniel Amakachi substituted himself before the end of the... He brought himself on. During the kind of, Everton were about to make a substitution, and then I think the player came off to get treatment, and then Amakachi brought himself on, just walked on. He wanted to be part of it that much, and scored two goals. You know, became a legend. Do you know what I mean? It was one of those days. It was absolutely incredible. So yeah, no, I'm honestly, I could talk about it all day, but no, I'll finish there.
But to be honest with you, it's very worth the screen time. Just saying, if you kept going, it would have been all right.
Thank you.
Especially like hearing a tone of your voice, like shift, like when you start getting like giddy about it.
Awesome. It was a great day.
So now I'm going to get into some of the my stock Evertonian questions that I tend to ask people. Who's your favorite current Everton player?
You know, I've got two. I like Coleman. You know, Coleman, I think, is just, you know, what a leader. You know, it just is a classic, classic Everton player, classic Everton captain. You know, his leadership qualities, even when, you know, even when they're performing poorly, you could just see him trying to drag everyone forward. And, you know, from full-back, wing-back, he's just trying to impose himself and kind of drag the game with him. It's really incredible, you know, other than his obvious abilities. And I've also got a real soft spot for Richarlison. I think that he, just again, like that work ethic, that work rate, that just, you know, he's relentless. I'd hate to be the player marking him. He never stops.
Right.
You know, and he's had criticism for, like, you know, maybe not getting so many goals, although he's been on a good run lately. But I think what he brings to the party, it's just fantastic. And it's been like that from day one. Like when we signed him, I was a bit like, oh, that's a lot of money. And kind of now I see it. You know, he's a Brazilian international, like established. It's him and Neymar, you know. Kind of, wow, like, and you know, it's to see his developments. I've really, really got a soft spot for Richarlison. I just think he's a great player.
Yeah, I'm with you. The idea of narrowing what Richarlison does down to just the goals.
Yeah, it's not fair. And I know that Ancelotti apparently said to him, like, you know, we need more goals from you, which is fair enough. He gets the goals, but I just don't think he can't just be measured on that. He can't. His contribution is so great.
So On to the next question. Your favorite Everton goal?
Joe, I wasn't at this game. I think it would have to be, and you know, this has done the rounds, a viral sensation. Graham Sharp at Anfield. You've probably seen it. That incredible volley when people run onto the field.
Yeah.
Their 80s coats.
I have seen
afterwards
that.
And he's mobbed. And it's just, it's such a thing of beauty, you know. It really is. It's such an incredible thing to have been there and to, it has to be the goal that all players dream of scoring, and all fans dream of the players scoring. So, yeah, that has to be probably my favorite goal.
That I feel like that one gets mentioned by the folks who have been watching the club for many, many, many years. That's a popular answer. That's one of those I had to catch on YouTube because I was so late to the Everton party, but. Yeah, going back and watching Graham Sharp highlights.
You know what? You're saying you were late to the Everton party. That's why you've got a full head of hair and I look like this. Stress, mate. You know what I mean? Like, this is a lifetime. This is decades worth. You know? But as you started late. Now look at you. Know?
Look at how many grays I got rocking in here, man.
come on. Please. No. Honestly, like, this is what Everton do to you. You know, yeah. Because there are highs, there are lows, you know. That's part of it, isn't it? You know,
a lot of lows. My kids are starting at like birth, so I got to talk to them.
Same.
Be like, listen, guys, here's the way it's going to go.
Am I not getting off with it? I didn't get off with it. No. Sort of born into this.
Oh, yeah. okay, so last stock question. This is kind of a weird one. What all-time Everton player are you, like, personality-wise? So if you sat there and said, that Everton player, yeah, that's my personality. That guy right there.
Wow. Oh, that's a good one, that. Do you know what? I think I mentioned him earlier. Tony Hibberton. He's my personality. Yeah, I just, you know, I've got a job, I want to do it, you know. I've got a job, I want to do it. I kind of focused, you know. I like to think not too much drama, not too much fuss, just go about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, he's from Heighton as well, so there's that. So I can I can see that. I've never met him, but we had our photo. The New York Evertonians went over there for the game. A few years ago, Everton Stoke, and he came and had his picture taken with us afterwards, which was great. I was like, and Duncan Ferguson and Joel Robles at the time, that's when it was. So yeah, Hibbo came over. So yeah, I'm Tony Hibbert. Yeah, I'm Tony Hibbert. So just do my job, get down there, you know. I want to make a million appearances, you know. Yeah. I want people to feel I'm relatable.
So I'm going to need that picture of you holding the gigantic carp now.
Yeah, I don't own a fish farm. So yeah. I'm not being so big with the Anglian Times, but yeah, you know.
We got to get you to the market. Just find a big, gigantic fish and hold it up. You're like, yes.
I want everyone to be mobbing me at my testimonial. That's all I ask, you know.
It's the little things, you know. Very cool. All right, so that's a fast. That's a first, by the way. No one has said Hebo, so that's
I've got to represent height, mate. I really do. I've got to represent height.
Love it. All right, so I gave you a heads up about this topic, which you can take however you wish.
Okay.
But I mentioned this concept. A lot of our American viewers who haven't had a ton of experience like at the club, with the club. You know, haven't had like a lifetime. You know, mm-hmm. There's these little like Everton rules, you know, mm-hmm. that you learn along the way. Like, oh man, I realized that I wasn't supposed to do that later on. And then I felt really silly, but then some Everton supporters were really cool about it and let me know about it, that kind of thing. So Toffee Taboos. Doesn't have to be a taboo, though. It could just be an Everton rule that you know of. And from your match day experiences, I'd love to hear what you got.
Everton social mores. Yeah. One of the things when I started going to the match with my dad, he was at pains to explain to me the tradition. This is common to all grounds, not just Everton, but I think it's an important one in the UK. When the opposing keeper comes out in front of the banks, of massed banks of home fans, he always gets a round of applause. Even if he's a Liverpool keeper, you know, it's a tradition. I think it's a really beautiful one. Just a bit, and then the keeper will invariably acknowledge that as he comes out. I've always thought it's a really nice moment and a great tradition there. And something about Everton as well, which again was instilled in me by my dad, is that even when Everton concede, if it's a goal of real brilliance, there'll be a polite ripple of applause will go around Goodison, acknowledging that. And I don't know what happens at other grounds. I think it happens other places too, but it's just something that I always felt was really great about Goodison, that, you know, yeah, obviously, you know, whatever, you know, and we're kind of, you know, we want Everton to do well and kind of like we're all rooting for them. But there are times when you can also just sort of acknowledge, you know, great play from other teams as well. And, you know, that doesn't happen all the time, this polite ripple of applause, but it does happen. You know, and that was something my dad would be like, you know, someone had scored a worldie against us, and he'd be like, you know, come on, we clap now. And, you know, the people would be doing it too. And I thought it's just a great thing. Like, you know, I'm going to instill that in my own kids when we start going to Goodison as well. Because, yeah, I mean, look, you know, we want Everton to do well. We're there for them. We're like screaming them on. But there are quiet moments as well where there's these little things that I think are kind of important and a kind of part of the fabric of British football, really. And I don't know. I haven't seen that. I don't know whether there's anything analogous in American sports. I mean, maybe there are things like that, little traditions, little mores. But those two really, really stuck with me, you know?
Yeah. I honestly don't know of anything like that in American sport that I've seen, you know, at least not in the live events that I've seen or anything I've seen on, you know, there's not really nothing like that. Yeah, nothing. I mean, I'm trying to piece something together, give somebody the benefit of the doubt. But I love the classy gesture of respect, the tip of the hat almost, like, hey,
yeah,
we acknowledge you're there, you know, that's cool. And the acknowledgement of quality, the only other time I've seen anything like that, and again, it's not like I've been to a lot of English Premier League games or English League games at all, but we watched my kids are obsessed with this Ronaldinho highlight video, and there's this one particular one where he scores a goal against Real Madrid, and it's just and you see the opposition fans clapping
for
my kids are always like, see, look at that, the Madrid fans are clapping, you know?
Yeah,
and it's like, and it's funny, like, I didn't realize Everton supporters did that. I didn't know that.
Do you know what? I just thought of another one while you were talking there. Just thought of another one. Ex-players coming back to Goodison, always get a great welcome back, you know? Really, really, Everton fans are very, very welcoming of ex-players. You know, obviously certain times that some situations are a little bit... maybe players leave under a bit of a cloud, but generally, you know, an ex-player, someone who's pulled on that blue shirt, when they come back to Goodison, they get a really good welcome. And that's something that, you know, I've read players talking about that, you know, and kind of how, you know, kind of Everton is always a part of them in that respect. Like, it's, you know, I mean, obviously it's special to me, but, you know, I think that it's, you know, I think it's a special club, you know, in so many of these ways.
Okay. Well, these are, again, these were unexpected little details that you've just given us a little nice insight into the match day experience, which is, you know, again, not all of our listeners and viewers are in America. I'd say a decent chunk are actually in England, but it's, you know, for folks like me who haven't had the pleasure of going to the game yet. So these little details
You know that. What? When you do get there, it'll make it all that bit more special for you.
I think so.
Really well. Yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers that somehow we make it later this coming year.
Good.
Late summer, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. You know, pandemic pending, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
We'll see about all that. So last thing, James. I usually save this moment for one unique detail about you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Could you talk to me? Because I don't know a lot of people who've had this experience where they've gotten 1,000 Instagram followers in the span of a few minutes, and you've had to bike 8 miles being on a mission from the club. Let's talk about this, because everybody who's hearing this is like, I have no idea what Jerry's talking about.
This is number one. It was Twitter, not Instagram.
Oh, it was Twitter, but, really? Okay.
That's all right. Facts are sacred, Jerry. Last summer, I'm sat at home working, and I get a call or text from Michael, who runs the New York Evertonian, saying Everton are doing a big viral thing in Times Square today, and they want someone to go in and photograph it. So the viral thing in question was a huge billboard of James Rodriguez, who had obviously just signed for us, part of this big global branding exercise that they did during the summer. And I'm like, wow, I mean, this is pretty cool. But, you know, it's pandemic, I'm working from home. I also at the time was avoiding the subways as much as I could in New York. You know, it's obviously we're living in strange times. So I got on my bike and I biked in from Brooklyn to Times Square on a blazing hot day all the time, thinking, wow, I'm doing this for Everton. I'm on this mission for Everton to take these pictures of James Rodriguez. So I get in there, I get into Times Square, go to the north part of the square, and there they are, these huge billboards with him on. And I'm like, wow, this is great. It's like, you know, it's like I found El Dorado or something, you know, it was kind of amazing. And it's just me kind of with a big smile on my face taking these photos. So as I had been directed to by Michael, I start tweeting them and Instagramming them. And then I'm looking at my phone and it's like, oh, I've just picked up 1,000 new Twitter followers in the last 5 minutes. And it's like, and this just goes on. And my mates back in the UK, Evertonians, are texting me saying, like, you're getting tweeted by the club and all stuff like that. Your pictures are getting tweeted by the club. And it was just, it was so brilliant. It was like such a happy day for me. But like, so many things in the last year, like I experienced it in isolation. It was like, you know, I'd like to say that there was like a crowd of Evertonians gathered around this billboard, but it was just me, you know. I think other people came during the course of the day to pay homage to this incredible experience, but like it just was. And you know, I've lived in New York 17 years, you know, worked in Manhattan, you know, for all that time, you know, I know it quite well. And just seeing that kind of coming into a place that, you know, that's my home was just so amazing. And, you know, seeing the pictures go around and like the club made good use of them. And, you know, it was just, it was great. It was really, really great. It was such a fun day. And I was telling friends who maybe weren't necessarily soccer fans about it. And I don't think they really grasped it, but whatever. Ooh. Like for me, it was really special. It was really happy. And, you know, and I thought, like, it was a smart thing for the club to do that. You know, they had the big tower in Columbia kind of all done up. And, you know, I'm sure it wasn't cheap to rent these billboards in Times Square. But, you know, it looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. And just as a sort of, as a branding exercise. And that's, you know, that's what we want. You know, I mean, that's kind of what we as fans want. Like, you know, we want, you know, on a grassroots level, we're all trying to, you know, trying to grow the club's fan base as best we can and kind of bring more people into our community. So just seeing that, I thought it was great. It was like one of my favorite Everton experiences. And then I was on my own. Like, you know, I didn't see any other Evertonians all day. Like, it was just me and this gigantic billboard of James Rodriguez.
That is nuts. That is just such a crazy story. And I've, totally imagining you on. I've gone through several different types of bikes when I imagine you pedaling like top speed through New York City streets.
Yeah,
you know, at one point it was Pee Wee Herman's red bike with the streamers. And just, I've just gone through several different iterations of the different kinds of bikes.
I should have embellished the story. I should have been like, yeah, I jumped on my Harley and went straight up there. Yeah. No, no, it was a hybrid commuter bike. I wish I was that cool.
Oh, that's awesome, though. That is such a cool story. And I don't know anybody else who lived anything like that. So that is definitely one unique detail about James. So, James, we are reluctantly, we must move on to the next topic. But I will say, everybody, there's your James intro. All right. And the next time he's on, we'll get more. I assure you. So anyway, so that's our intro. So let's move on to a rather workmanlike performance from Chelsea and kind of a meh overall viewing. I actually saved that one for today. So I watched it. As soon as I got home from work and just hung out by myself, was watching it, and I knew what was going to happen. Didn't make it any more uneventful. It was just really kind of...
I was hoping against hope that they were going to get a result there. I knew kind of after the derby was obviously spectacular. They played poorly in the next two games against Southampton and West Brom, but won, which is absolutely critical if you want to do anything. And I just was like, going to Stamford Bridge and playing them, you know, you've got to be at 100%. And obviously they had their game plan, but I feel for me, I looked at a lot of those players, I felt that there were a lot of tired legs and kind of tired minds out there. Like, it's been a busy period, and a lot of players didn't have good games. That's true. But it was just, as you say, it was like, it was, you know, it felt like an end of season game. You know, it felt like, you know, that in mid-table mediocrity and there's not to play for. And so you go out and you might, you know, might get beat 2-0, could get beat 5-0. So it wasn't the greatest performance. I think Ancelotti said afterwards, you know, he was hoping that they were set up to hold Chelsea at bay and then see what, I got the sense that it was then see if we can hit them on the counter like we do to teams, you know, but it wasn't going to happen. You know, they had too much for us. And like, you know, some of the best urgency we were getting in that game was from Jordan Pickford, who was getting the ball and looking up to kind of do on some of his great distribution. And it just, there wasn't anyone there. And that, for me, summed up what the game was. Pickford, by the way, I thought was outstanding. Mm-hmm. The penalty issue apart, and that's, you know, that's one of those things. But like the scoreline, it could have been 4 or 5 nil easily if it wasn't for him. So I'm glad that he's like really coming into this great form now, and I think that's going to be important for the running. And I thought Tom Davis, another one of my kind of another player I've got a soft spot for, you know, another Liverpool born player. I thought he added a little bit of energy into the game when he came on. You know, he was kind of going for it. There was some bite from him, which we were missing. And you look, getting beat by Chelsea, you had a great footballing side. You know, that happens. But you just, it's the nature of the defeat that's kind of a bit, that's hard to take. You know, when I think they had one shot on target, and that in itself was quite tame. Like, it just, you want them to kind of show a bit, you know, go down fighting is what I like to see. So, but, you know, we move on, don't we? You know, it's gone now, and you know, Burnley on Saturday is going to be a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, it was weird. I thought we were just not nearly careful enough with the ball moving forward. Yeah. Just a lot of, like, you know, Toffee Blues admin John was messaging me about that. He said, you know, we were really sloppy. And yeah, when you watch that match, it's just a lot of careless passes, you know, just little silly things that there was no need. Just, you know, being like one or two feet off exactly where you needed to place that ball.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of stuff where when we're clinical, James, we're making those passes. We're connecting on those passes.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Does this happen because they are getting the passing lanes a little better? Maybe, you know, but I think it's when it's more of a, about to sneeze.
Bless you. Goodness gracious.
That's a first. I don't think that's happened on the show. You know what? I think I'm going to leave it. Let it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even going to edit this out. Just, you're welcome, world. sorry about that. Anyway, was it because they were getting in our passing lanes a little bit? Yeah, but I think when it's that widespread, I feel like it's a mentality thing. And, you know, I didn't think we played poorly. I didn't think it was the worst match we played all season. Especially like defensively, it wasn't awful. You know, the two goals we scored, one was an own goal and one was a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of, there was that much pressure though, wasn't there? You know,
so
I mean,
much,
it's going to build up during the course. There's going to be chances. And I think obviously Decore was terribly missed. Like we needed
ask you about that
energy to break them down and to kind of help us kind of start off again. And that was missing. You know, there was kind of, you know, the energy that he brings and, you know, and the kind of that organization, like they needed to be, their momentum needed to be broken down by someone. If our formation couldn't do it, which it couldn't, and so the formation kept shifting, then, you know, you need someone in there who's really going to take charge of that midfield and do it. And, you know, you've got players playing out of position a bit, like Holgate and others, and, you know, and combine that with tired legs. And we just kind of, they kept catching us, you know, we just kept getting caught. And then obviously we're in a position where we're chasing the game. And so it's just creating more gaps behind us again. So, yeah, it wasn't the greatest, you know, but it's, yeah, I've seen worse. I've seen worse.
I agree. I've seen worse, like, recently. It's crazy.
Yeah, oh,
it's,
yeah, yeah. Fulham was worse. Fulham,
yes.
Fulham was dreadful. Truly awful performance. I thought we were done for, you know. I thought, well, that's the end of the season. But, you know, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So, you know, it's, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, it was really strange watching that one. And anybody in particular for stand out for Chelsea where you were like, you know what, that player surprised me. Anybody in particular?
Havertz surprised me. You know, Havertz was a live wire.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, really kind of, you know, turned it on a bit there. Yeah. I thought, you know, but again, it's, I think with them, you know, it's the depth, isn't it? The strength and depth, that big squad, you know, and, you know, they're bringing on, like, you know, kind of, they've got a load, they've got a really deep bench to call on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Everton had two keepers on the bench, you know, and a load of under 23 players. And it's like, that's how it is, you know. So when we want to change things up, if we've got like key players out, like James and Decore, then like, that's what we're going to have, we're going to have issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is what it is. And I think that, you know, I think Ancelotti does a good job kind of changing things on the fly. I can't always necessarily work it out when he's doing it, but, you know, it doesn't work all the time, but it works quite a lot. And I think he'd run out of personnel, really. Mm-hmm. You know, he kept changing the formation round and we're chasing the game. And I just felt like we never really got a toehold, a foothold in the game. You know, it was never, we never had a hold of it, you know.
Thinking about their first goal. I mean, the second goal, I feel like a lot of people were on Pickford about it, but I think almost everybody acknowledges he had a solid game.
You know, he had a great game. He had a fantastic game.
It was a little bit clumsy for the penalty. You know, it wasn't one of those where he's trying to take the player out. He's clearly trying to avoid the player, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not being careful enough with his body. He's trying to bat it out, and he just catches
and he's also in a position where he has to make a challenge there. And so, you know, when it's like, you know, he's got to rush off that line. He's got to get there. He was, you know, he was exposed. You know, it's kind of, he had to make that challenge. He's the last line of defense. And unfortunately, I think sometimes that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, he would have to be like, I don't know, he'd have to have the manual dexterity of a surgeon or like a fighter pilot to be able to kind of rush out and kind of deal with those flailing, you know, the attacker's flailing limbs and kind of get the ball away. I just don't know how, you know, I feel like it was always going to happen. You know, it kind of, that was the momentum that they both had at that point. So, like, you know, he gave the penalty away, but like, I'm not, you know, it's not, I don't think it's the end of the world. You know?
It seems like it's a pretty widely acknowledged thing right now that Pickford is playing a lot better.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I think there's a lot more belief in him right now. It's like he's making a lot fewer mistakes. And it's interesting, like a match like that, I usually, in the past, Pickford's stronger games were when we faced more pressure.
You know, when
he can keep his concentration going by constantly having to be in the play.
And
that's where he tends to shine. I mean, that's why he was so good for Sunderland, you know, because they faced tons of pressure. Right.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. He earned his Spurs as a shot stopper then, you know. But it's I like him. I think that he's made mistakes. All goalkeepers make mistakes. I think that it became kind of like a national pastime, getting on his back there, particularly last year, and that annoyed me because it's like, you know, people were going after him. And you know, and that was incredibly frustrating. And you know, but he seems very mentally strong. You know, and I think, you know, Ancelotti's brought Olsen in, and Olsen's done quite well for the most part when he's been brought in. And I think having the two there, you know, kind of, he's had a bit of a break as well, Pickford. You know, at times that probably wasn't the worst thing. You know,
right.
Ancelotti seems to have this man management thing down. I think I don't know, but it looks to me like Pickford could be one of the many beneficiaries of that approach that he has. You know, he's certainly playing his best football of the season right now. You know, he looks like the old him, put it that way.
We've seen these brief flashes from, and for some players it's just been completely constant, where they have kind of reemerged as the players we thought they would be.
And
it's been. And you have to chalk that up to a big chunk of it is man management, but it's also kind of understanding your players systematically and putting them in positions they can succeed. It's a lot of different pieces being put together that I have to, this whole Ancelotti's himself and his whole staff. Mm-hmm. It's impressive.
Yeah. 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 I mean, he clearly is, you know, master tactician. But he also seems to have the ability to get the best out of players. You know, we've seen that with Calvert-Lewin. We're seeing that with Tom Davies. You know, obviously you mentioned Pickford. You know, Godfrey has come in as being just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. I mean, just, you know, clearly should be in the England team. I mean, he's kind of just, I'm blown away by his performances. And yeah, you know, the own goal the other day, but you know, like he's a defender. He has to be in that position. Like it's going to happen. You know, those things happen. So there's so much good stuff going on in that squad now. You know, and he's turned Calvert-Lewin into this, I know he's on a bit of a quiet patch in terms of goal scoring at the moment, but wow, what a player now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that so much of that is to do with Ancelotti and the way he's brought him on and the players around him as well. But like his development's been absolutely phenomenal. And now I think with Davies, we're starting to see, you know, him achieve some of that early potential too. And it's, you know, I think it's just fantastic. Like I'm really pleased with that side of Everton at the moment.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's some players who are finding consistency for the first time in their Everton careers.
Yeah.
There's some players you see more confidence coming from them. They're starting to understand their role better. It's funny. Like we're talking about this after a loss. I find that interesting, but also a little refreshing. You know, that's pretty cool. So final thoughts on the Chelsea match. I got to be honest, it was pretty, you know, pretty cut and dry experience. You know, I think both of us would agree that Chelsea were stronger squad. Was it a winnable match? Yeah, because they all are. But at the same time, I don't think anybody's surprised by us taking a loss there. Just, you know, we're going to be disappointed. We move on.
It would have. it would have been good to have kind of cemented our position in that top group. Wonder a little bit whether, you know, whether it's going to kind of be between us and West Ham for who kind of, you know, gets that final European spot. And then are we looking back to, you know, that defeat against West Ham as a six-pointer? Or indeed, is it going to be kind of something between us and Leicester, and we're looking back on our win at Leicester as a six-pointer? Who knows? You know, I mean, it would have been great to have got a little bit of more daylight in that situation, whereas, you know, we're still pushing, we're still chasing at this point. But, you know, it is what it is. There's, you know, there's a bunch of games left, and, you know, we'll just have to kind of do our best to bring the best, bring what we can out of them. So we'll see. We'll see.
And we knew these types of situations were going to happen with our lack of depth. We knew it's going to happen. I will say Carlo's starting to find ways to generate depth with utility and helping other players find different roles that maybe they didn't normally used to have, which is nice. But it's also, it's makeshift at times.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've got a player like Iwobi, who's been in all these different positions, and, you know, I thought he's done quite well recently. But at Chelsea, he seemed, you know, there are also games where you can see he's not really fitting into the system, and so that's the thing, you know. There's utility, which is great, but it also helps to have kind of specialists and specialist roles if you can. But this is what we are at the moment, so this is what we're, that's how we're going to play it, so it is what it is.
Okay, anything else on Chelsea?
I think that was it. I'm done with it. It was a bad memory.
I'm fine with also being done with it. Cool. So let's move on. So I'll give you the choice. You want to talk Burnley or you want to do mailbag? What's your order?
I'll do Burnley quickly, if that's okay.
Gotcha. All right.
I am pleased that Coleman's going to be back. Ancelotti said Coleman will be back. Mina's back training, which I think is absolutely, which is good, you know, and I hope he's going to be part of the mix there. It's not going to be easy. They've got a lot of players coming back from injury. Jack Cork, it looks like he might be available. I think it's also interesting because if I remember rightly, Ancelotti's first game as Everton manager was against Burnley in December 2019. I was actually at the game. And
of
I remember
course you were.
Of course, yeah. It was one of my two games of the season, so it happened to be that. And I think that, you know, here we are, we're coming up on Burnley again. And it's just, it's at the time, I can remember sitting there, and obviously we knew Ancelotti had this, you know, great career, this great reputation. But we still had a lot of issues, you know what I mean? There was still a lot of, you know, still are some kinks to be ironed out, obviously, but I remember looking at him coming on the pitch after that game and thinking, where's all this going to go? You know, I hope this isn't going to be another false dawn for us, you know, and we've had a few of those. And I think that here we are now, what, like 14 months later, and it's been kind of slow and steady, and his whole ethos around this, what he's doing with us, is patience.
Right.
And so I think that, like, you know, I think we all want things to immediately improve when a new manager comes in, and it's just not like that. You know, it doesn't happen that way. So I think that, you know, it's another big Chelsea, another big Burnley game at home. Mm-hmm. And just to take stock for a minute, I think we have come quite a long way, and we've got some ways to go yet, but I can kind of see his master plan. So I just think, you know, another Burnley visit to Goodison, like, all right, I feel pretty good about the direction we're heading in. Now, you could ask me this at 5 o'clock on Saturday after we've been beaten, I'll be like, well, that was dreadful. What's the point, you know? But but for now, I think, you know, there's been steady progress here, and you know, hopefully we're gonna go on to the next level.
I will say, when it comes to Burnley, even despite all that steady progress, which I fully wholehearted, I always expect Burnley to be like this rock in your shoe that won't go away, that you can't, they do all the little things right.
Yeah.
And they're fundamentally sound. And I never feel confident about a straightforward win against Burnley. Okay.
And play to their strengths, you know, do the simple things well, you know, incredibly organized. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to get, you know, and it's big physical side, you know, the people there that can play football. Yep. And, you know, they clearly pose a threat. And, you know, they've been picking up points and they haven't had a win for 5 games, though. And that is kind of one of the things that worries me. Because I feel that with Everton, like, if a team has been on any type of negative run, the team to be playing against is Everton. And if, like, I'll get back to the example of Tony Hibbert. If Tony Hibbert had played for another team and had gone all these games without ever scoring, you know that he would have scored against Everton. His one goal in football would have been against Everton. So, you know, so that's what worries me. They haven't won in 5. They haven't been scoring a lot of goals. And yeah. I'm like, oh gosh, is this going to be the day when their floodgates open? Just that's just me. You know, maybe I'm just superstitious and a bit like, I've seen this too many times in the past where we turn a team's fortunes around. Yeah, great. You know, hopefully that won't be the case on Saturday.
Well, they are currently 15th with in the league with 30 points, or 7, 9, and 12. Their previous three, 1-1 draw with Arsenal, 1-1 draw with Leicester, a 4-0 drubbing at the hand of Spurs.
Spurs, yeah.
Possible lineup. I've just thrown in some possibilities here. No idea if this is right. This stuff is rarely right, James. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw that out there. But, you know, I think we could end up seeing them run something similar to a 4-4-2, pretty similar, like that, with Pope in goal, across the back line, Lotan, Tarkowski, Ben Mee, and Peters. And then across the middle, Goodmanson, Westwood, Brownhill, and McNeil. And then up top, you could see, was it Vidra and Wood? And you could see, you mentioned Cork, so I didn't even realize that he's back in contention.
Yeah, I was reading that today. He may be available for it. Wood, I think, is a real threat.
Yes.
You know, I know he's a New Zealander, but I always imagine him as like an what would be termed an old-fashioned English centre forward in the positive sense of the word. You know, very physical threat. You know, always available, always an outlet. You know, and again, they play to their strengths. You know, they're kind of their build up work is good in getting the ball to him. You would hope we would get a result, but it's difficult to say. Look back at the Fulham game. You know, like I was just like, well, just statistics. Does form mean anything? Obviously not. You know, as you say, every game is winnable by every team. Like we see that a lot. So. Yeah, we'll see. Well, let's see how we set up. You know, I think, you know.
How do you think Ancelotti we will set up, by the way?
Ancelotti seems to love his diamond. You know, he seems to enjoy his diamond. He feels that, it's creating the space that we need to play in. So, but he will obviously, as you know, he will switch that around sometimes when he has to. We'll see. I mean, I think that's what we might see, but I just don't know. I mean, he's also full of surprises.
I've got diamond as well. Here as far as my possible starters. So Pickford starting again, and then who do you think our back line is going to be?
Could we see Coleman back?
What I wrote down. Nobody else was picking that, but for some reason it felt right.
He says he's going to be part of. He'd said that he'll be part of things on Saturday. So, I kind of read that to imply that he would be starting, but I don't know. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, Keane, Holgate, Dinia. I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah. Can we feel them? We might see Mina back. I mean, who knows? We could see Mina back. Like, if he's back training.
You think, what about Godfrey?
Of course, yeah. Godfrey's got to be in there, yeah. Yeah. Godfrey's got to be in there.
See, I've got Keane, Godfrey, Dean. Because I was worried it'd be a little too soon for Yerry Mina, and Holgate would maybe be the odd one out of the just kind of bringing in Coleman just to give him.
Because
I feel like against a team like Burnley, who are pretty savvy, you know,
they
have a tendency to get under your skin. Colgate seems like somebody who you could get under his skin, and Coleman seems a lot calmer of a head when it comes to, you know, not letting people get to him. I don't know.
I mean, you're right. Sorry, Godfrey has to be in the mix there as well. We'll see. I mean, I'm not so sure. I mean, the midfield, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, there's going to be no Doucouré still out.
Right.
You know, will we get James back? You know, that's a question. Look, we don't know. We're probably not going to know that until this press conference later this week. I would like to see him back, obviously. I'd like to see him getting some more minutes in. We do miss that spark.
We do.
I think that much has been proven. We'll see. Sigurdsson, I think, wasn't there an injury concern about him as well? Did he miss training the other day?
I don't know. For some reason,
I thought he missed training the other day. That's a worry, you know. I don't know.
Davies along Gomes, probably. You know,
didn't have the greatest game at Chelsea, did he? You know,
not the best, but that typically hasn't always been the thing that Ancelotti uses to the criteria. He's usually just starts whoever he feels like is right.
Because
I don't know who else do you have instead of him that can help create that diamond with Alan and Davis. I wasn't sure who else. And I was under the impression Sigurdsson is probably still going to be available, but
They said, I read that he missed training, but I hope he will be available. You know, he's really kind of talking about players who've gone on to the net, you know, who've stepped up a gear. Like, I think what he's been doing lately has been just fantastic, you know, kind of game winning, you know, really. Mm-hmm. Someone who's almost like reinvented himself, I think.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of what he's bringing to the table. So, yeah, I would want him in there. Maybe we'll have Iwobi back in, you know, in one of any number of positions. I think like Iwobi's done quite well recently. I think his last couple of games have maybe not been the greatest, but like I think we've seen flashes of what he can do. But I think that, you know, I'm really not sure what his best position is. I think, you know, he seems to have played everywhere.
We talked about it a little bit on this show before. I remember people who watch the show regularly are going to be like, oh, great, Jerry's talking about this again. But Arsene Wenger said that Iwobi's best position is a number 10, but starting a 10 that plays on the outside. So it's not a traditional number 10 like what you would consider a James to be normally. James plays that, you know, creator role from the wing as well. You know,
it's a movable feast.
There are things that he does that Iwobi does where he does play technically like one of his stronger positions. That's why it's really interesting that when he came out this week saying, oh, I can't wait to get to play my normal position. Yeah, it was a little odd.
To Nigeria, yeah. And it's like, I felt like saying, well, what is that? You know, it's like, you tell us what it is. He obviously has an idea, you know. I mean, and it's Mr. Versatile, shall we say.
Well, we've had him at wing back at one point this year, so you never know. And I think we'll probably see Richarlison and DCL in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which are, you know, two of the early names on the sheet, usually. What's your prediction?
Oh, gosh, I hate this. I hate doing predictions.
James, I think no one's ever right. It's okay.
No, that's true. I think, all right, Everton 2-1. Everton 2-1.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yes.
With Pickford to score from a goal kick. Yeah, you heard it here first. Silences critics once and for all. Yeah, there you go.
That is an inspired prediction, my friend.
Just you wait.
James, I hope someone puts a bet down on this just based on you, just based on what you say. I have your prediction is a thrill ride compared to mine. I am predicting a 1-1 draw because it's Burnley and they always do that. And I want to be wrong. This is one of those, you know, a lot of times I make this pick and I'm like, yeah, I want to be right. This is an awesome prediction where I predicted us to win 4-0. It's going to be great. No, I want this to be wrong. But Burnley they're on that 1-1 tear.
You know? Didn't we go there years ago? We played at Burnley years ago. We weren't doing well, and we beat them 5-1 at Burnley. Do you remember that? It was this complete, like, it's impossible to say, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which team that was. Was that the Eto'o team?
It might have been a little bit after that. It was like about 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. Jeez. Unbelievable. Go on, live a little. Make a wild prediction. Hey, 1-1.
All right. So we're moving on. We have the crazy. We have a lot of these questions, so we're going to make them fast.
Okay.
These questions are from, I believe these are from Instagram.
Oh.
Louis.c2004 asks, would you like to see Moise Keane back to Everton? James?
No. I think that he has, for all his ability, I think he's found a home somewhere new. I think that he's not going to, even if we were to bring him back, he would not be a happy camper. And I think we need to, you know, we need to move on. I think everyone needs to move on. It's, you know, I've got nothing against him, but I think for his career, he will be where he needs to be. And I don't think that is Everton. So if, you know, that's not the case, if that's the case, then it's probably best for everyone if we move on from there.
I am going to say yes. I would like to see Moise Keane back to Everton, with the caveat that he wants to be there.
Yeah, and I just, for the life of me, I can't see that's going to happen. Like, it would be great, wouldn't it? But like, just, you know, I can't see it. You know,
no, I am with you. That is where the realism takes me, that he's happy where he is.
Yeah.
But if we somehow, you know, make him feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and that he's going to get some time, I'm very, very cool with him being back because I like him. You know?
Okay. I mean, look, a ton of ability, yeah, but it's... Right?
I know. You're right, James. You're right. But
yeah. I've been known to be. Yeah.
Every once in a while. It's All right. So, Kevin Cunahan. Yeah. Kevin Cunahan, 05. This is just a simple question. UCL quarterfinals or Europa League champions? Which one would you rather be?
Ooh. UCL quarterfinals or Europa League champions?
Yep.
Europa League champions. Silverware.
See, silverware. You're about to sway me the other way.
Silverware.
See, I was going to say UCL quarterfinals because it's more money.
Yeah, there's more to life than money, so and so. But no, I want some silverware in that trophy cabinet, you know? I really do.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When you said silverware, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been too long. 1995, it's too long. It's too long.
Yeah.
I still had hair then. I had hair when we last won a trophy, you know?
Mm-hmm. So this is a hard question. Jay Connor 08 asks, if you could add one player from the American national team to Everton, who would it be?
Oh, gosh.
I have my guess, my answer.
Wow.
But I mine won't happen.
Oh. Oh, you want Pusilic?
I didn't even think about him.
I mean, well, he's the obvious one, isn't he? You know, it's like,
I mean, it's a good one.
You know what he can do.
I thought mine was really obvious, but I guess Pulisic would be the obvious one, right? It would be
maybe. I mean, who's your one?
Serginho Dest, right back.
Oh, interesting.
Barcelona.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
That's the one I feel like that. We need really bad. That.
Can't we just put like Landon Donovan into some sort of like, you know, way back when machine, and kind of we can have him all over again. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
And his enthusiasm and his love for the club, yeah. Put all that together.
Landon Donovan was an Everton player through and through. Yeah.
Yep. So, okay. That's a really hard question. So Kieran Alty _01 asks, is Tim Howard considered the best American goalkeeper to have ever lived?
Ooh. I mean, I'm biased, but obviously for me, yes. But I mean, America has a track record of producing great keepers. I think I would go along with that and say yes. You know, even in a good field, he is he's truly exceptional.
Yeah. I mean, how many American keepers have played for, you know, Everton, played for a club as big as Everton, first of all, and how many have been the starter? Mm-hmm. And additionally, add the fact that they also played for Manchester United and had massive matches in the World Cup where they were like a virtual wall, you know?
Yeah.
I think when you put all those things together,
you know, there's Brad Friedel was there, Casey Keller, you know, there's a lot of like
Tony Meola.
Yeah. I interviewed him once actually.
Oh, that's guy. Awesome.
It's a different story. Yeah. It's a totally different story. Yeah. Many, many years ago when he was having a stint in indoor soccer. And talked to him a little bit about his experiences and stuff. So, but this is it. But I think that there's a great tradition of American goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. And Howard, I think he, you know, for me, he obviously is kind of right up there, you know, but mm-hmm. he's in good company. There's no question. Like he's amongst great company.
And I like the new number one, Zach Steffen. I think he's going to be great. But we just need to give him more years. Give him more time. But yeah, another good question. These are great. These are great, Instagram folks. Let's see here. We've already talked about Iwobi. So Lewis Barton, 321. You said, what do you make of Iwobi? We've already discussed him a bit. So
yeah, I
don't need to go into too much.
I will answer though. We need to unlock, you know, the potential of Alex Iwobi, and I'm not quite sure where that, you know, how that's gonna come about, whether it's a positional change or something else. I don't know.
I think he has seen improvement this season.
Yeah, for sure.
Under Carlo, I think he's seen his confidence grow. He's starting mm-hmm. to find a little bit better role, and I think that with a little more patience on his part and on our part, mm-hmm. We'll continue to see more contribution. For a while there, he was contributing regularly, and it was inspiring some confidence. Mm-hmm. But match like, you know, Mondays doesn't really help his confidence or ours. So
yeah, it's the truth.
I probably like him more than others, but I do need to see more consistency. Period.
Yeah, for sure.
Austin Elliott _07 asks, what would you do if you were manager for a week and what would you change? And then Austin says, much love.
Oh, nice. Love to you as well. Austin. What would I do? I'd make myself player manager so that I could come on as a substitute in the final minutes of a game. Yeah. That's what I would do. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to, wouldn't you? You know, what would I do if I was manager for a week? Do you know what I would probably do? Right. I would probably ban phones from the dressing room. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think, you know, if you're a manager and as great as it was to see like the Snapchat stuff of the team celebrating in the Anfield dressing room, and it was awesome to see it. But I think if I was a manager, if I was Ancelotti, like that area has to be kind of sacrosanct. You know what I mean? It has to be, you know, a particularly, you know, pre-post match. Yeah, so I probably would ban phones from the dressing room. Maybe he does, I don't know, but like I just think, yeah, that's something I would do.
Nice. I would make it mandatory for every time Nery Mina scores for him to do those dances he did in the World Cup. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, true.
And that is phenomenal. Okay.
Yeah.
Big time.
Brilliant. Right?
And also I'd be pulling strings for my kids to get into the academy. Just saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, do it. Why not? You know,
if I can't, it's the one time I can use my clout.
Course,
it's the only time in life I'm going to have some clout. So I may as well do something with it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I would probably never play Hummus against Burnley because it's just asking for him to get an injury. You know what
that's, I mean? Yeah, buddy. This is his job, isn't it? It's his job. I know what you're saying, but he's needed
but
to
Burnley
do this
is going to be saying, ah, look at those ankles. Those are tasty.
I know. But I mean, that's, yeah, but it's the Premier League. You know, I mean, this is like, Fulham did that. You know, Fulham
but honestly, but honestly,
and
I'm
I,
not.
You know,
I'm
got
not
a result.
I'm not completely sure that Hamas is even our best chance against Burnley with the way they play. So I don't know.
True.
Yeah, I it was partially in jest, though, James.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
I'm
very touchy about
seriously.
Very touchy about Hamas, but yeah.
You were like, it's his job, Jerry. Get it together. What is this carton pony show you got going on here?
You pull on that blue shirt, you perform, you know. Get it together.
Love it. One last thing, you know, I would design one outlandish corner kick play. One.
Yeah.
Just something that would go viral if we tried it. Just wanted something that would probably make everyone cringe unless it worked. I would love just one crazy, crazy play.
What do you mean, like getting Jordan Pickford to take the corner, something like that? Like, that would be pretty crazy, wouldn't it? You know, that'd get people talking.
It would be. Figure out the play that distracts everybody to make it to where we can actually get Pickford to score on a goal kick the way you said he would.
It's good deliveries.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a fun question. Apologies to Austin if you wanted me to take it.
Sorry.
Super duper seriously. I got to be honest. I feel like Carlo's doing everything I would want to do.
Yeah, I mean he's got them the ticking over, aren't they? You know, it's like the engine of a car, you know, that's what we want, you know.
So Indo Evertonian asks, how does it feel when having an early kickoff in the winter? So James, you and I are in the Eastern Standard time zone.
Yeah.
So early kickoff on Saturday mornings is 7:30 for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Californian Evertonians.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the night,
4:30 a.m., you know, they are. Yeah, so we don't really have as much pain as they have.
Yeah. It's, you know, you get used to it. I'm like, look, it's Everton, isn't it? No, I'm kind of, I too would get up in the middle of the night to watch them. So, you know, it's, yeah. But it's, you know, you have, the only thing is when they get beat, your day is really ruined when it's an early kickoff. Yeah.
You're like, and for what?
So, yeah. Things really can't get any better after that. Yeah. So, speaking from experience.
All right. So, 9Yoshi5, we've had questions from this person before. What, and this is Reddit, by the way, the Redditors, the Redivertodians. Mm-hmm. So, what to do with Decore out? Can Davies play that role instead?
He can. It's asking a lot, like, because what Decore does is really, you know, covers an incredible amount of ground.
Yeah.
And he's good with the ball. And, you know, and Davies covers a huge amount of ground. Davies, I feel, is still evolving into, you know, the player he's going to become. So I think that it's asking a lot. I mean, it's, you know, those are pretty big shoes to fill. I think that Davies can do part of that role, but he needs kind of, he can't do it on his own. He's going to need someone to offload some of that too as well. Particularly maybe move the stuff with moving the ball as well. So I think he's Davies' positional game has improved dramatically in the last 3 months. So we've got that. He's got the engine. He's got the work rate. It's just, you know, it's kind of packaging that with really good distribution as well and decision making, which he's getting better at. But you know, Decore is a pretty tough act to follow on that. So I don't know. Someone else is going to have to be in that mix to do that job with him.
They just seem like they have different profiles in their strengths.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's why, you know, I look at Davies and I feel like the player he's most similar to in the job that he does is Alan
in the profile of
player that he is.
Yeah.
So it's almost like instead of looking for a direct replacement for Decore, you look for a systemic replacement.
Yeah.
You know, you alter the system, you alter the formation. Because I don't think we have, I mean, unless somebody performs some kind of miracle healing and gets Gbamin out, but he's not ready yet. We just don't have anybody who's got his legs and his ball carrying ability and put all those things together. Speed, work rate, ball carrying ability. Decore's he's one of my favorite players this season, man.
Oh yeah, no questions. You're not standard.
He's just an unsung guy. But it's not completely true though, because Evertonians sing the crap out of him. So it's they do appreciate it. I say unsung because it's the people from the other teams who don't really know about him, don't get it.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for that. He's a player's player, isn't he? You know, I mean, to be alongside him must be just fantastic when you're the beneficiary of that work rate and that distribution and everything else. It's got to be, you know, he's kind of like the heartbeat of the team in some ways, you know? I see what you're saying.
Let's see here. Sorry, these questions I'm trying to. So there's one. Scouse Loki asks, is top four, I think this will be our last question. People who we don't get to, it's really just because of time. So there's nothing to do with the quality of your questions. Scouse Loki asks, is top four still a realistic target, or has the Chelsea game shown how light we are as a squad?
I worried about that. I think it still is, for the simple reason that the nature of this season has been very topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
And there is still going to be freak results involved in the top four. I mean, they could involve us as well. But I think, I'm not sure we're going to see Man City drop many points, or everyone from there down, I think, is going to drop. So it's possible the stars are going to have to align, but that's, you know, there's, you know, maybe this will be the year that they align for us. Like I have not completely given up hope on that.
Yeah. I mean, we are thin, but we're right there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and this thin team has gotten to this point now, you know, and we're here right now. And so it's, I can't abandon it until it's numerically like impossible. Once it gets closer, if it gets closer to being numerically impossible, yes, there'll be some realism kick in where I'm like, oh, I still, you know, think it's, you know, but I have less belief now. But right now, I don't know, man. I've seen us win games no one expected, and I've seen us lose games no one expected.
Exactly.
And additionally, I feel like more times than not, we're decently consistent for the most part.
Yeah.
And that consistency is really what this game's about when it comes to Premier League.
Yeah. So it's doable. You know, I don't see why not. And there's enough games left. You know, we haven't dropped completely off the pace. It's just, I wish we'd made a bit more of our games in hand, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
We're still in there.
So yeah, I agree with you. I think it's still realistic. There are some follow up questions that Scouse Loki has asked, but I believe it's very in depth, talking about how many new players we realistically need to sign if we do get Champions League, and it's just very difficult questions. That got to be honest, I could see us if I mean, just to give it a thin coat, mm-hmm. I would say if we do get Champions League somehow, I think we need at least four.
Yeah, and I agree. And in terms of the names that are being bandied about, I'm excited by the talk of Max Aarons at Norwich.
Much.
I was just watching some of his stuff today. Wow, what a player. At least, you know, what I can see on YouTube. But I just have a vision in my mind of another another Ben Godfrey who comes from Norwich and sets the world alight, and that would just be fantastic. So, you know, I think that there are some good names out there. We do need some. You know, I think, you know, we could do with a bit more along the right side, I think.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, let's see. But I think, yeah, I agree with you, probably about four. And, you know, and good midfielders are always at a premium. So let's see.
And that is assuming, of course, that we'd have a couple leave as well.
So Yeah.
And so the four we bring in would be four who are contributing. So, yeah, that's – anyway, okay, well – that's the end of the mailbag. It is empty now. I can go, you know, put it in the corner until the next time.
Great.
Collect the mail. James, the show is over. Congratulations.
Wow, thank you very much.
You have somehow survived me.
Do you know, before I go, do you mind if I mention one thing?
It just needs to be really awesome, James.
Okay, all right. Okay. Oh, it will be, I promise. So one thing I will say that has been, and thank you so much for having me on the podcast, obviously on the show.
You are absolutely welcome. I'm so psyched to have you.
It has been wonderful getting to know everybody across the States in this, you know, in this virtual way. And I think that, you know, the more that we can do of that, like having this community for us all, you know, particularly at this difficult time, it's so important, you know, and I think that the more we can all do that and be together in whatever way, virtually, on Twitter, Instagram, you know, it's just so good for us as a, you know, it is what Everton's about. It's like I'm someone who grew up going to Goodison every week and this feels real to me. Do you know what I mean? It's a continuation of that kind of culture and community I grew up in. So, you know, and I think that hopefully we're going to see even more of that this year. My understanding from what I've been told is that there's talk of a Toffee Fest event that's going to be held virtually at some point during the course of this season, which is going to be something that I've been looking forward to for a long time, in a way to bring everyone together. I haven't got full details of that yet. I don't know exactly how that's going to work out, but you know, we've been doing so much virtually that it seems that, you know, we'll be coming together to a greater extent at some point. So I think I'm really excited to hear about that, you know, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of excitement amongst them, a lot of the US Evertonians about that. So, you know, I think, you know, watch this space. I think that there's going to be some, we'll get to be together a lot more, you know, during the coming months.
James, that was more than awesome.
Oh, thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Listen to the way you wax poetic about the club and the support and the connection. It's beautiful.
Oh,
that's awesome. Especially when your lies add up, when you talk about Toffee Fest, Toffee Stock, Toffee Palooza. We need to utilize all of these goofy names.
as long as one day it'll be in a field somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be the best. Just a load of Evertonians in the field dancing. But yeah, great. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really exciting. There's so many opportunities for the club here in the US, like so many good people like yourself who've been drawn to Everton. You know, it's not always the easiest choice in life. If you wanted an easy life, would you become an Evertonian?
I'm always fascinated by the psychology of people like me, you know, the ones who say, you know what, this feels right. And I just don't even, I can't even really consider the others.
No, I mean, that's you were chosen, mate. You were chosen.
Right on. Well, yeah, looking forward to learning more about that. And I do think this is the club, I think, especially, and the fans forum, you know, they put a real focus on connection and kind of reaching out And it is a beautiful thing, especially right now. Now is a perfect time for connections. What I think a lot of people need it.
Yeah, and you know, there's been all these other things, like, you know, kind of the deal with Hummel for like all the kind of the merch.
Oh, yeah.
That's something which looks great. And it's, you know, that's brought in about $10,000, I think. And, you know, a big portion of that's going to have it in the community. So, you know, it's an evolving thing. And, you know, and everything's rooted back to Goodison and the club. And, you know, in America, there's, you know, the fans groups, you know, it's this growing dynamic thing right across the country. It's just been wonderful to see. And it's been wonderful to be in contact with everyone about that. Like, it's been a lonely year for a lot of people, but this is, you know, what we're doing today, the kind of the match day experiences I now have with people have just been like kind of a highlight for me. It's been
awesome.
A tough year. And it's kind of like, it's helped keep me going. So, you know, more of that, you know, hopefully we'll see more of that. And it's going to be, you know, I think it'll be great. It'll be really great.
That is, that's some soul feeding stuff. That's, this just kind of, it's funny. I feel like every single time I come on here and I talk about the connection, the reaching out, you know, and it's how it's, you know, just continues to, you know, affirm that every time I come on, and I meet somebody like you, James. So
thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me, man.
Great stuff. You too. And I hope you have a good night. I hope you get a bit of rest.
As
we are parents of young children.
right now, my kids next door, I'm about to go walk in there and see if they're actually asleep or if they're in there, like, I don't know, they set up the goals and they're playing a whole game. Nice. Okay, now you're Everton with the yellow and I'm Everton with the green and let's play a game. You know, yeah, that could be happening. Or they could be playing poker, James. I don't know is what I'm saying.
You're going to have to find out, mate. You're going to have to go in there. Let the law down.
I'm just going to assume it all went to plan. I'm going to go hang out in another room.
Great stuff.
Fingers crossed everything's cool. Anyway, James, I guess that's it. Is there anything else you want me to plug?
No, that was great.
NYC Evertonians?
NYC Evertonians, yes. Obviously, if you're a New York, if you're Everton fan in this area, just reach out to us. We're doing a lot of stuff constantly. You know, we're also trying to help amplify some of the newer groups that have started doing a lot of work for Everton in the community. We have these beautiful New York Evertonian pins. I don't actually have mine to hand, which cost $5. The proceeds go to Everton in the community. Michael Setterberg told me to mention them. It's a very, very good cause. You know, just please get in touch with us. You know, the more the merrier. We're always welcome. You know, you will always be welcome with us.
Also, if you just happen to be in New York, you happen to be in the New York City area.
Yeah.
You know, when things are a little safer and that kind of thing. Yeah. Get up.
Come and say hi.
All right. So, James, I'm going to do my closing spiel now. Okay. So let me ramble off a bunch of stuff really quick.
Okay, yeah.
So if you've been enjoying what you're hearing and or seeing, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel or the Toffee Blues podcast, either one, whichever one, you know, is your thing. Also, please check out the Toffee Blues website, all things Everton on there. Lots of cool content on there supplied by people you find on this channel often. And they're good fellas every once in a while. Back in the day when I was available during the earlier hours of the day, I got on and spoke with them and they were nice to me. So you should read their stuff, just saying. So there's that. Also follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you feel like it, don't forget that I read a children's book, Randolph the Christmas Moose. The idea came from the Toffee Blues podcast. So yeah, it's about a moose who decides he likes to run. Someone tries to take it from him. Now he doesn't let that happen. And then who knows, maybe he saves Christmas. Yeah, I'm still trying to nail down this marketing my book thing, but it's available on Amazon. Please check it out. Even though it's not Christmas, the message has nothing to do with Christmas. Just saying. There we go. All right, James, I'm done spieling. I'm spieled out.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
James, thanks so much. Everybody, that was James Rogers. I'm Jerry Gibson. And 3 points incoming, question mark. Would love that to happen against the big fundamentals, Burnley. Fingers crossed. Let's make it happen. All right, everybody out there, much love to you. Bye.